I want to invite you back tonight. Super Bowl Sunday night at 6 o'clock. We're going to have our Baptist men's service. Our men will make up the choir. And we're going to have three testimonies. We'll have Edwin Ainsworth. Edwin had a pretty rough childhood. He served with the Cobb County Police Department for 30 years. He's seen a lot. He and his family have been here for a long time. They're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And so he's going to share. He's a school resource officer now in Cobb County. Jason DePrima got saved not too long ago. He's a police officer over in Cartersville and Bartow County. And then most of you know Doug Kelly. Doug is a techie person. He can fix anything. He's also our drummer over on the dark side with our praise band. He was on his bicycle. He rides the professional bikes, not the Huffies and the Murrays. And somebody was driving 65 miles an hour and brushed him and almost killed him. And so he has a testimony he wants to share tonight. Now, most churches are going to be canceled on Sunday night, especially Super Bowl Sunday night, and that's fine. I think that worshiping the Lord is more important than the Super Bowl. And I'm not... I'm not trying to heap guilt on anybody, but all you're going to miss is the first quarter and six beer commercials. And I think coming to worship the Lord and hear these testimonies is a whole lot more important than a football game. We're talking about eternity here. Now, last Sunday, I talked to you about the ghost of guilt. And today, I want to talk to you about danger of jealousy. And I want you to turn to Proverbs 27, verse 4. And also turn to Genesis chapter 37. Proverbs 27, verse 4, very, very simple. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? I heard about a pastor who was touring a mental hospital, and a nurse was showing him around the facility. They walked by one room and looked in on a patient. He was just beating his head on the wall. And it was just constant. He wouldn't stop. And so the pastor asked the nurse, said, "What in the world's wrong with that man?" Said, "Well, he was a pastor years ago, and he wanted to be the pastor of First Baptist Church of a large city, and he was rejected for somebody else. He's lost his mind, and he's just beating his head against the wall." They walked down the hall to the next room, and they looked in, and there was a man in a straitjacket beating his head against the wall. And the pastor said, "Well, who is that?" He said, "That's the pastor who went First Baptist Church as pastor of that church in the big town." Write this down if you don't hear anything else I say. Let me tell you what jealousy is. Jealousy is a poison that will rob you of the blessings that God has given to you. Jealousy is a poison that will rob you of the blessings God has given you. What put Christ on the cross? Will you say it was the will of the Father? He sent his Son to give his life on the cross for our sins. You're correct. What else put Jesus on the cross? I want you to write down Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. Matthew 27, 18. Pilate had Jesus delivered over to be crucified, and here it is, quote, "For he knew they had handed him over because of envy or jealousy on the part of the religious leaders." Sin put Jesus on the cross. The will of God put Jesus on the cross. And jealousy put Jesus on the cross. The first murder recorded in human history was with Cain and Abel, and it was all because of one thing: jealousy. Jealousy kills. It kills friendships. It kills marriages. It kills families. One of Satan's biggest weapons is the bitterness that is caused by jealousy. In the Old Testament, we find that Joseph experienced the wrath of his brothers. Joseph felt unappreciated and left out. The brothers felt unappreciated and left out by their dad, and they took their anger out on the favored son, Joseph. So what I want to write down here today for you, and just show you on the screen, let you write it down. What are the characteristics of jealousy? Every one of us has to fight this problem in our Christian life. Genesis 37, verse 18. Let me go back just a little bit further. You remember that Jacob gave his son Joseph the coat of many colors. I like to say that Jacob went shopping at the Silver Sands Ralph Lauren outlet in Destin, Florida, and he found him a coat of many colors. In fact, when you read a little of the Old Testament background, it was the robe of a chieftain or a ruler. The sons are the brothers of Joseph, but the sons of Jacob had suspected that Joseph was the favored child. But after the gift of the coat of many colors, that confirmed their suspicions. And look at Genesis 37, verse 4. When Joseph's brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. They did everything in their power to make Joseph's life miserable. Look down a little further. Chapter 37 of Genesis and verse 8. You remember, Joseph shared his dreams with his brothers that one day he would probably rule over them. But in chapter 37, verse 8, when Joseph told his brothers his dreams, they hated him even more. Now look down in verse 11, same chapter. At last, the Holy Spirit tells us bluntly, his brothers envied him. They were jealous of him. Then circumstances delivered Joseph into the hands of his brothers. You remember the 10 older brothers were in Shechem, and Jacob had good cause to worry about them in chapter 34, verse 25 through 30. So he decided to send Joseph to find out how they were doing. Chapter 37, verse 13 through 24. By the time Joseph arrived in Shechem, the brothers had moved on to Dothan, which was on the high road to Egypt. And that's where I want you to look at Genesis 37, verse 18 through 20. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And you remember Reuben, one of the brothers, for some reason, made an effort to try to spare the life of Joseph. And we find here that Reuben lost out to Judah, who proposed selling Joseph as a slave to some Ishmaelites who were passing by. So outrageous is their envy of Joseph, their hearts became like steel against Joseph. We see that wrath and anger come forth. But I want you to know that envy and jealousy is cold-blooded, it is calculated, and it is cruel. Listen to what Eugene Peterson wrote in the Message translation. We're blasted by anger and swamped by rage, but who can survive jealousy? Jealousy is a real problem that everyone must face, and everyone must fight at some time or another. Jealousy and envy are very close and almost synonymous, but there's a slight difference. Jealousy is when you have all that you ought to have. Listen to this carefully. Jealousy is when you have all you ought to have, but you're envious of the positions, of the possessions of another. Envy is very simple. Envy is when you want something someone else has that you don't have. So they're not twin brothers, but jealousy and envy are actually kissing cousins. You know, it's so easy to be jealous in an instant. Think about this. This has happened with your children. You have a middle schooler or a high schooler, a young lady who's trying to make the cheerleading team, she gets cut. Your daughter's jealous of those who made the team. I'd never seen this before I came to Floyd County, but you have football cheerleaders, you have basketball cheerleaders, and then you have competition cheerleaders. I'd never seen that before. The cheerleaders we always had in the Augusta area, they had to cheer for all sports. So now it's widened so more people can make the cheerleading squad. But if your child doesn't make it, there's jealousy on their part and yours with those that really made the team. You've got a child that goes out for football, baseball, basketball. They don't make the team. Their friends do. Maybe your child makes the team, but they're only second string. Your colleague gets a promotion at work, but you don't. And let me tell you where that's really prevalent in the workplace, especially in the school systems. There are people that finally get a teaching job, they go out and get their master's degree and doctor's degree, then they may be promoted to assistant principal, then they begin to apply for a principal's job, and they're passed over and passed over and passed over, and oftentimes that can lead to extreme jealousy. And sometimes you may be in a school system where there's the good old boy pattern. And it's not what you know, but who you know. It's the same way in the corporate world. Your neighbor buys a bigger home, but you can't afford that. Your neighbor buys a nicer car, but you can't afford that. It could be, you know, it happens to pastors. Pastors hear a better preacher, and they're jealous of his ability. And pastors have got some warped ideas about what really makes up God's church. So many pastors think the larger the church you have, the more spiritual it is, and the better preacher and pastor you are, and that has absolutely nothing to do with it. Now, let me share with you some symptoms that we have when we are jealous, and we don't like to admit these, but the first thing I want you to write down is this, is a critical spirit. Jealousy breeds sin. And it also is a direct path to cynicism. Here's what happens. You're in a conversation with somebody that you mutually know with the other person. And this person tells you about the success of this third person over here that's not in your sight. And the first thing you do is say something negative about the person who has experienced success. You know what's really sad? Is the jealousy between churches. We're all in the same business. I was shocked last week. I talked to a member of the Georgia Baptist Convention staff. And he said, there's a church nearby, and I'm not going to call any names, it's been having some problems, and they have for years. And he said, we went over there to do an intervention with their deacons and their leadership. And he said, the leadership in that church expressed to the convention employees that were doing the intervention that they were angry at churches like Pleasant Valley South and larger churches because we are not sending members to their small churches so that they won't close. I never heard of that. I've never read about it in the New Testament. And the problem with a lot of churches is they're not controlled by God. They are family owned and operated. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Why in the world do I want to send some of our best believers to a family owned and operated church so you could get run off just like so many of the hundreds of people they've already run off? Here's what Pleasant Valley South is accused of as well in this area. We're draining the finances of other churches in this area. Excuse me? I don't remember sending a bill to anybody. Another rumor about Pleasant Valley South is, from a church not too far down the road towards Cartersville, is this: don't go to Pleasant Valley South. If you do, in order to be a member, they require you to give 10% of your income to the church. I wish we did. I really like that. I like that reputation. But I'm not foolish enough to believe that all the people that join this church are going to obey God with a tithe. Churches are jealous. And listen, we're in the same business. We're talking about the souls of people, discipling, preaching the Word of God, being involved in ministry and in missions. Second thing I want you to write down is anger, bitterness, and resentment. You can only suppress bitterness so long. In fact, you can't keep it hidden very long. This is because attitudes like bitterness and jealousy are written in the eyes of other people if you'll just look closely. A person who is content, you'll see joy, you'll see peace, you'll see contentment, and you'll see happiness. But I want you to know there's tenseness and bitterness in the jealous person's life. Just write this down. The north wind, Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. We cannot hide resentment. I was reading about a small town the other day, and I've served in small towns smaller than this. The pastor at First Baptist Church had gone on vacation. He was many miles away, and one of his members died. There was only one other church in the town. It was First Methodist Church. So the family of the deceased at the Baptist Church said, in the absence of our pastor, would it be all right if the pastor of the First Methodist Church did his funeral? Well, the pastor of First Methodist Church said, well, I can't make that choice on my own. I have to call my supervisor. I have to call my bishop. So he called the bishop and said, look, I'm in a situation. He said, the Baptist preacher's out of town. One of his members died, and they've asked me as the pastor of First Methodist to do his funeral. May I have permission to do his funeral? And the bishop said, oh, yes, by all means. Bury all the Baptists you can. Anger, bitterness, resentment. A sense of insecurity. Jealousy changes the object of our focus. We become insecure, wondering whether we made the right decisions. We tend to fix our gazes on one thing, and the moment we begin to think about who's getting ahead of us, we set ourselves up for trouble. You know, I love the story of John Glenn. He died on December the 8th, 2016. I'm not sure why they didn't do his funeral until April the 6th, 2017. I don't know if this is even taught in school anymore, but John Glenn flew 59 combat missions in World War II. And then he was in the Korean War. He flew 27 combat missions in the Korean War. He was a test pilot. He was an astronaut. He was the first American to do what? Orbit the Earth. A four-term U.S. senator. And this is just phenomenal. At the age of 77, the year 1998, he was a part of the Space Shuttle Discovery crew, the oldest man to ever go into space. Following his death, the American flag was lowered to half-staff, not only in the United States, but wherever American flags fly around the world. I want you to know that his stature of accomplishment has been displayed at Ohio State University's John Glenn College of Public Affairs. But viewers might be surprised at what they read there at that little monument. There's a picture of John Glenn's high school civics teacher. And with that monument at Ohio State and the display about John Glenn's accomplishments, here's what he said. "Mr. Steele, my high school civics professor, is the one who inspired my life." He said this, he said, "He ignited a fire in me that never did go out. Always, always, always be involved in public service." And ladies and gentlemen, when Professor Steele died, the flags were not lowered to half staff. But when John Glenn died and the flags were lowered to half staff for 9 days, behind that was that high school civics teacher, Mr. Steele. Next thing I want us to write you down, if you're a jealous person, you've got the wrong focus. Focus is a key element to living the Christian life. Delaney likes to watch the doggy championships on television. There's two or three different doggy championships. I always like to watch them run them down the runway. And the part that I wouldn't do is when they put them on a stand and they pet them all the way across the back and they pull their tail up and pat them down behind the leg. I'm just not there. I don't understand any of that. But one thing I have noticed is the first thing the trainer does, they always give this command, "Watch." And when they say watch, that dog's head turns right up, looks right square into the eyes of the owner or the trainer. And at that point, as the animal looks up, they wait for the next command. It may be wait, it may be heel, it may be stay. Regardless, the dog's focus is set on one thing, and that is the command of the trainer. I've noticed whatever our focus is, that's what has us. Ask us, are our eyes of our heart set on Jesus Christ, or am I angry and jealous of other people? Another thing is indecisiveness. In the back of your mind, you may constantly think about a person who seems to have more or to know more than you. And regardless of whether this is true or not, focusing on your feelings can be very disrupting. And when you're not operating within the guidelines of God's principles, you'll not know the right thing to do. Another thing I want you to write down quickly is possible depression. Now, jealousy doesn't always result in clinical depression. But when we've allowed jealousy in our lives, we have allowed sin to enter. Sin hinders answered prayer. Sin keeps us from glorifying God with everything we say, do, and what we think. For example, you may be at odds with a coworker. And the first thing you think of when you get up Monday through Friday, before you go to work, you're thinking about that coworker. I wonder if that coworker is going to try to outdo me today. I wonder if that coworker is going to try to undermine me today. And as you think about this person and try to manipulate your circumstances to get ahead of them, you become more and more anxious and more depressed. The other thing I want you to write down is loss of privileges and opportunity. Jealousy positions us for a crash in our emotions as well as in our professional life. Where there is no peace, contentment, or happiness within our heart, others are going to have a hard time working alongside us. When others sense that we're jealous or we're envious of them, we may find ourselves wondering what we've done, but the answer is clear. We need to listen to the conversation. We need to steer clear of being jealous of other people. I read something the other day I couldn't believe. Warren Buffett has this little war against poverty. And several years ago, he began letting people bid to have lunch with him. Now, you have lunch at New York's Smith and Walensky Steakhouse. The highest bidder to have lunch with Warren Buffett in 2017 paid $2.6 million. Are you with me? Now, here's one of the privileges that this person who won the bid, he gets to do. He gets to bring seven of his friends to this steakhouse to the lunch, to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, the 2017 owner of this lunch got a bargain because the 2016 winner paid $3.4 million for the same meal. Now, what Warren Buffett is doing is raising money. He's raised $26 million for anti-poverty causes since 2000 by getting people to bid on having lunch with him once a year. Wouldn't you like to be one of the winners, seven friends that went to that lunch? You know who I'd want to be? I'd want to be the waiter. And I'd want an automatic 20% put down on the tip for a $2.6 million lunch. You know what? I might even sing to them at the table if I could get that. But you know what? Every day we can do something greater than have lunch with Warren Buffett. We're invited to dine with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have fellowship with him. And I think we can get more insider information and wisdom from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords than we can from Warren Buffett. The other thing I want you to write down is broken fellowship with God. Listen, you can read your Bible. You can have your quiet time. You can come to church. You can do all these things. But I want you to know, if you've allowed jealousy in your life, you're not walking in fellowship with Christ. You know, a jealous person can't pray with true devotion because he or she only wants to ask God to deal with the other person. You know, there's something wrong with that other person. Lord, you need to change their heart. Jealousy is just one entrapment Satan plans along your way. The other thing I want you to write down quickly is physical sickness, bitterness, resentment, hostility, anger, jealousy, envy can be stepping stones to physical disease. I want you to know that most of our lives, we've heard people talk about having something eat away at them on the inside. The outcropping of jealousy is anger, and this results in a list of physical problems. Let's talk about quickly the complex nature of jealousy. I love the way Shakespeare described jealousy. Here it is. Jealousy is a poison more deadly than a mad dog's tooth. Now that's nasty. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now think about what he said. He says jealousy is rottenness to the bone. You know what that means? Jealousy comes from where? Where are our bones? On the inside. He said jealousy comes from the inside. It's a rot that's making its way to the exterior. On the other hand, we tend to attribute the successes of other people. Oh, they're just lucky. Oh, they just knew somebody to get promoted. Listen, when we're talking about our successes, we like to talk about our ability. I'm the man. I've got this. When we talk about the successes of other people, when we're jealous, we're very critical of the other problem, of the other people. Let me tell you, jealousy will rob you of peace in your life. Now here's the correction for it quickly. First of all, confess it to the Lord. We need to confess that we're jealous of other people. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'll call a name here. He wouldn't mind. Bob Skelton is one of the finest preachers in this town. He founded Windshake for the Cathy family. and did a wonderful job. He is now involved in preaching in his 31st church as an interim pastor. I talked to him recently and I said, when I retire one day, I have no desire to break your record to be an interim in 31 different churches. I would be in a straitjacket, bouncing my head on a wall. Well, I didn't know him before I came here. And the search committee here actually didn't know what they were doing. And they were desperate for a preacher. And they found me after 2 years and asked me to come in view of a call. And right before I came in view of a call, they said, there's this man up here named Bob Skelton. Now listen, when I hear Bob Skelton preaching, I close my ears and he sounds just like Chuck Swindoll. He is brilliant. They said, when you come in view of a call, and if we call you as our pastor, we're used to the best preaching in the world in Silver Creek. Well, there's no stress there, is there? No sense to be nervous about that. And I remember when I came in view of a call, I didn't know Bob Skelton. Over in the old worship center, he was sitting right down here. But here's what I told the search committee. I said, listen, I'm not the best preacher in the world. I never will be. I'm just a plugger. I hate to read. So God has a sense of humor calling me to do this. And I said, when I get up to preach in view of a call at this church, I'm not going to try to con you to get me to come to this church, because I've already turned your search committee down 2 times because I don't want to come to Silver Creek. And if you remember that sermon that I preached that day, it was out of the book of Acts. And I challenged you and I said, if you want to grow a church, I'll be glad to help lead that. But other than that, I just am who I am. Am I jealous of Bob Skelton? Absolutely not. Do I respect that man? Oh, yes. But God made me simple just to be me. And you'll find peace in that when you don't go around trying to pick other people apart or having more ability than you. Now notice the correction is right. Confess it. The other thing is confirm it. When we acknowledge this before God, we can't patch up the situation. We can't camouflage it or rationalize it. We've got to deal with the true issue and give it to the Lord. If there's a chance you're jealous of another person, ask God to help you find a way to encourage, compliment, or befriend that individual. The other thing is commend the Lord. We need to thank God for giving us our health and making us who we are. You know, I have problems with people who say, I can't figure out who I am. That's strange to me. I can't figure out people who say, you know, I can't figure out what I'm supposed to be. If you get in the Word and get on your knees, you'll be comfortable with yourself in your own skin, because you'll be going in the direction of God's plans for you. The Bible says in Psalm 139, you'll find there about you being formed in the womb. You go over to Jeremiah and you'll find that God has plans for you before you are ever born. You need to get comfortable with that. And then consult, pray and ask God for help, so you can see the heart of another person at the center of the conflict. Jealousy is everywhere. Corporate, ministry, government, politics, office, neighborhood, college football, high school football, basketball. You may be jealous of someone who's just being the person God created them to be. Another person is living God's plan. We never have any excuse to be envious of anybody else. There's no way for you to know all that another person is facing as well. The other thing, walk close to God. Walk so close to God that you're willing to wait for Him to work. You know, times of waiting offer some wonderful opportunities for us to grow. We listen for His instruction. He tells us how to live. We can build friendships, working relationships we thought we could never have. And then contentment. The key to overcoming jealousy is in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Be who God wants you to be, serving where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. It's very easy. Somebody wrote this, and I love it. It's a good test to the rise and fall of egotism to notice how you listen to the praises of other men of your own standing. Until you can listen to the praises of someone else without any desire to indulge in detraction or any attempt to belittle his work, you may be sure there's an unmortified prairie of egotism impulse in your nature. Yet to be brought under the grace of God, the antidote for jealousy is contentment. I know you don't find this hard to believe, but I had an awful time getting a date when I was in high school. When you weigh 105 and you wear a power shirt to school and you were born with an extra rib on one side of your body, and that's what everybody knew you for, was an extra rib. That's just not easy. We've got a long, skinny face with an extra long nose, and people just don't look up to you at all. You didn't play on the football team. Played in the band. So what? Band's not so bad. Trying to get a date was a hard thing. But you know what I love? We've only been back to one class reunion. And all those that were beauty queens and the chisel guys, they look about 30 years older than Delaney and me. They peaked early. I'm still on the rise, you understand? An insurance salesman come to my office this week. He was training a lady. He sat down and already had a little policy with him. He said, "Now, how old are you?" I said, "Why don't you guess?" He said, and he looked for a while. He said, "You look about 52. I said, "Ellen, give me some Chick-fil-A certificates in here." I didn't buy anything else from him. And then he asked me his age and overguessed his age by 6 years. But you see, he couldn't be critical because he was selling and I was supposed to be buying. My sister was a scholar in our family. I just got by with my grades. Let me show you how my sister studied. Have you all heard of osmosis? I didn't ask you to spell it, but have you heard of osmosis? I'd come in at 11 o'clock from the grocery store. I was high school and college, working and going to school. She'd be lying on the couch in the den with a book like this on her face, sound asleep till 2 or 3 in the morning, till mom and dad would wake her up and go to bed. She made all A's. She got her college degree, osmosis. She got a master's in medical business administration, became the vice president of a huge corporation in America. Retired at 50, I have no idea what she's worth. But you know what? I'm not jealous. I'm proud of my sister. Why should I be jealous of her success? And she serves God. She walks close with Him. She's involved in ministry. She has all this property. She's got the beach. She's got property in Columbia County. She's got this, that, and the other. There's not one bit of jealousy in my body. Because you know what? She's just living out the life God planned for her. Delaney and I are so blessed. Sometimes we just sit around and talk about it. Give God the praise. Can't believe it. Story of a rich industrialist. Had a big fishing fleet. He'd come by to check on his fleet every day. He was so wealthy, he didn't go out with the fishermen anymore. But every day he saw a man who owned only one boat. And when this industrialist would come by late in the evening, he'd see that man rocking in a rocking chair on the dock next to his fishing boat. Every day the rich industrialist would wave at the man who had one boat, but the man in the rocking chair never waved. So one day the rich industrialist stopped and he walked over to the man and said, "Look, every day I go by, I wave at you and you never wave." And so the man with the one boat said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I hadn't paid attention. I wasn't being ugly. I was just thinking over some things." The industrialist said, "Why are you not out fishing later in the day?" He said, "Well, I caught enough for the day." He said, "Well, why don't you start fishing longer during the day and catching more fish?" He said, "Well, why do I want to do that?" He said, "I've caught enough. What would I do with more?" He said, "Well, if you caught more fish, you would be able to buy bigger boats, go out deeper, buy expensive nylon nets, and the more fish you catch, the more you add to your fleet, and you can be rich like me." He said, "Well, if I get rich like you," he said, "what will that give me?" And the rich man he said, "Well, you'll never have to be worried about being jealous of anybody else." And the fisherman with one boat said, "Well," he said, "what do you think I'm doing every day right now?" He said, "I'm at peace with one boat, not jealous of anybody else every day." You know, there's nothing that will slay the green-eyed monster of jealousy like being satisfied with who you are, where you are, what you have. Because listen, starting with me and all of you in the sound of my voice, God has blessed us with more than any of us deserve. So don't be jealous of anybody else. Will you stand right where your heads are bowed, eyes are closed?